Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
The Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and hey, I said it's Friday, so you know what that is.
Start spreading the news.
Oh, that's right. Schomburg Stu is here. How you doing, Stu?
I'm enjoying the hot and steamy weather.
Yes. All right, if you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that, if you'd like to speak to Stu or I. Of course, if you don't want to do that, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for something popping up there sometime tomorrow. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link. That'll take you over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, sadly, we still don't have Stu on Twitter, but feel free to reach out to me at Burke Time, and I can forward anything you need along to Schomburg Stu. So there you go. We are off and running, and I don't know if you saw this one today, but the Bulls have shipped off former first-round pick Lauri Markkanen in a sign-and-trade. Did you see that one today?
No, I checked the sports headlines earlier today. I didn't see anything about him being moved. It must be, when did it happen,
yeah,
this afternoon?
It was reported right around noon. He is going to the Cleveland Cavaliers. He's also getting a 4-year, $67 million deal. Of course, since this is the NBA, there is a third team involved. It's the Bulls, the Cavaliers, and the Portland Trail Blazers. The Trail Blazers get Larry Nance Jr. and a 2023 second-round pick that actually belongs to the Denver Nuggets, while in return the Bulls get Derrick Jones Jr. And a 2020 first-round pick from Portland, but it's lottery protected. So there you go.
Well, what's your thoughts on that deal?
Well, you know, Markkanen never really seemed to find his place here. So, you know, I'm not really surprised that they shipped them off. You know, I mean, they're, you know, he's the best player in this deal. Of course, I know a lot of people like Larry Nance Jr., but he's been injury prone. You know, Derrick Jones was just a bench player for the Cavaliers last year. So I don't really know how it's going to work out. I mean, you know, the Bulls made some nice acquisitions in the off season, so obviously, you know, there wasn't really a spot for Markkanen. So moving him along and getting the draft pick, because they've basically dealt all of theirs away, should be helpful.
Yeah, I don't understand why they got this guy Jones Jr. He may not even make the roster when the season starts.
Well, you know, I think he'll be a bench player. You know, he's as good as the other guys they have coming off the bench. You know, he'll be a solid backup for DeMar DeRozan. It's just, you know, it's just going to be kind of interesting to see how the pieces fit. And I mean, again, we're talking about a guy who's only going to see about 20 minutes a game action. So he's not going to be taking a lot of time away from anybody.
Yeah, you know, Markkanen had a lot of upside, but he never seemed to turn out to be the player that everybody thought he would be. He was injury prone, and he had some great games, but then he would lose it for weeks at a time too. So his inconsistency is probably what cost him in the run, where the Bulls decided to peddle him, I would imagine.
Well, that and the fact with, you know, the signings they've made, they didn't have a ton of salary cap room. I mean, you know, they're paying DeMar DeRozan, and they're going to have to pay Lonzo Ball. I almost said LaMelo Ball. That would have been the wrong one.
Right.
So, and then don't forget, you know, Nikola Vucevic and Zach LaVine make good money as well. So they're carrying some hefty salaries. So to add one more, I mean, you know, Markkanen got, it was 67 million for 4 years. So, you know, do they want to carry another almost $17 million salary? Probably not.
Yeah, I don't think so. You're probably right there. Are they a playoff team? Are they a 8th or a 7th, possibly even a 6th this season?
You know, starting-wise, it looks like they're going to have a really good starting five. I mean, you're talking about a team that's going to have, you know, Lonzo Ball at point guard. Zach LaVine, obviously, will be the shooting guard. DeRozan will be the small forward. You know, my guess is Patrick Williams gets the nod at power forward, and then you get Vucevic in the middle. You know, if Williams comes along and progresses, that's a really good starting five. It's just there's not a ton behind them.
No.
I mean, I know they added Alex Caruso. He'll be the backup point guard. I don't know what that means for Kobe White, who everybody loved. That, you know, that there's just not a ton coming off this bench.
No, and that's gonna hurt them as the season wears on. But this certainly looks like the best team they fielded in many years.
Yeah, it's definitely a huge upgrade from where this team was to where this team is now. So, you know, and then, I mean, you know, the other fear, and I know the NBA isn't really, big men don't really factor in anymore, but the only real backup big man on this team right now is Cristiano Felicio. So, if something happens to Vucevic or Williams, he's the next guy in line. And I don't know if you can sell me on that. I mean, I know, you know, they do have Tony Bradley, but he's all of 23 and hugely inexperienced, so I don't see him getting a lot of playing time. So it's going to be odd. I mean, they would be a very small lineup if they suffered an injury to a big guy.
Yeah, well, that's the thing you always have to worry about, and are the injury factors. And has there been a year that's gone back by in the last 4 or 5 where they didn't have a serious injury to one of their top players at one time or another? It seems to happen every year to them.
Yeah, it does seem like it's one of those, you know, one of those things. So, you know, Cleveland is kind of on the opposite end of the Bulls, because by adding Markkanen, he basically plays the same position as Kevin Love. You know, they signed Jared Allen, their center, to big free agent money, and then they drafted a center with the number 2 or 3 pick they had in Evan Mobley. So they actually have 4 quality big men, but obviously they all can't be on the court at the same time.
No. It'll be interesting to see how they play it.
In reality, they would love to ship Kevin Love off somewhere, but, you know, with his injury history and his salary up over $31 million, that would be a tough deal for anybody to take. So,
yeah, I don't see him leaving Cleveland anytime soon.
But yeah, I mean, that makes them a little bit of an interesting team, just to see kind of how they're going to put the makeup of it together. you know, like who gets the start, at least who gets the start until Love is hurt. You know, and I know Markkanen can play small forward, even though he is a 7-footer. You know, he never was a great defender, but that's no big deal in the NBA anymore. So,
yeah, it'll be an interesting season coming up. It'll be nice to see if the Bulls can actually wind up winning one game this season against Milwaukee.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, they look like they should be a playoff team. You know, I mean, the trade and the signing definitely improves them. Well, more the signings than the trade, but, you know, it improves them. And, you know, I mean, Portland gets a guy in Larry Nance Jr., like I said, that everybody was really high on. You wonder if maybe just kind of getting out of Cleveland and getting a fresh start can help him. You know, you pair him with C.J. McCollum and Damon Lillard so he doesn't have to carry the load. You know, maybe he kind of works out into what people thought he was going to be, and, you know, they end up with an improved team as well. You know, and of course, plus they have former Bull Tony Snell on their roster, so they can't go wrong there. Did I lose you? What happened there? I can't hear you. All right, let's see if we can put Stu on hold and then bring him back in here because we seem to have lost him. See if I get a better connection. Does that bring you back in? No, I don't know. I don't know what happened to him. He seems to have, it says he's still here, and my internet is actually seeming to be working, but I can't hear him. Stu, you may want to hang up and call back in and see if we can get a better connection, because you're just gone. I can't hear you. So we'll see how that goes with Stu, and hopefully we can get a better connection next time. But yeah, that was pretty much the big NBA news of the day. There was making the trade, so we'll have to we'll have to see how it works out. But in reality, it should be a solid trade at least for all three teams. Oddly. You know, I think the Bulls got the lesser player of the three. I think both Nance and Markkanen are better than Jones. You know what I mean? I know the Bulls get the first-round pick, but it is protected. So I don't know if that helps them or how that helps them in any way. So we'll kind of have to wait and see how it plays out and, you know, see who kind of fits in where. So just one of those fun things. But while we wait for Stu to kind of shuffle back in here, let's see what we got going on in baseball tonight. We can run over the schedule here really quickly. Well, nothing's really quickly with me doing this, but we'll run over the schedule. We have the Arizona Diamondbacks at the Philadelphia Phillies. Taylor Widener and Aaron Nola are the starters there. The St. Louis Cardinals at the Pittsburgh Pirates. It's J.A. Hopp and Dylan Peters as the listed starters. The Tampa Bay Rays at the Baltimore Orioles. We get Shane McClanahan and Matt Hardy starting there. The Boston Red Sox at the Cleveland Indians. It's Eduardo Rodriguez and Logan Allen as the starters. The Cincinnati Reds are at the Miami Marlins. Wade Miley and Zach Thompson are listed to start that game. The Toronto Blue Jays are at the Detroit Tigers. It's Steven Matz and Matt Manning starting that game. The Washington Nationals are at the New York Mets. It's Paolo Espino and Rich Hill as the starters. The San Francisco Giants are at the Atlanta Braves, so a matchup of a couple first-place teams. Kevin Gausman comes back off the IL to start for the Giants tonight, and the Braves are going with Max Fried, so we got what looks like a good pitching battle as well. We got the Houston Astros at the Texas Rangers. This game is actually available on the ESPN Plus app if you have that. Jake Odorizzi and Glenn Otto are starting that game. Locally here, we have the Chicago Cubs at the Chicago White Sox. It's Keegan Thompson and Dallas Keuchel making the start. The Milwaukee Brewers are at the Minnesota Twins. It's Eric Lauer and Andrew Albers as the starting pitchers. The San Diego Padres are at the Los Angeles Angels. It's Joe Musgrove for the Padres, but the Angels are undecided as we go into tonight. We have the New York Yankees, the super hot New York Yankees, I believe 12 in a row, are still at the Oakland A's out west. Garrett Cole and Sean Manaea are the starting pitchers listed there. So we got another really, really good game with a really good pitching matchup as well. The Colorado Rockies are at the Los Angeles Dodgers. Kyle Freeland goes for the Rockies, and the Dodgers right now are undecided. And the night wraps up with the Kansas City Royals at the Seattle Mariners. We got Chris Bubick and Logan Gilbert as the starting pitchers. And it looks like we got Stu back, so let's see if we have better luck here. All right, can I hear you now?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
There we go. Yeah, I couldn't hear you before. Did I lose you or you lose me? Or what happened?
I lost my internet. I had no dial tone.
Okay.
And I went in and checked the our computer, and that was off also. I had to reboot the computer, and the modem was flashing, the white light that you're supposed to get a solid white light on our modem, or whatever you call it now, and it was flashing on and off, so I knew that we had lost our, temporarily at least, lost our internet. And, of course, our phones are connected to the internet also, so if I lose the internet, I have no dial tone. So I finally got the dial tone back, so we're back. Did I miss a lot of action on the podcast, being off for a few minutes?
No, I just ran over the schedule for tonight in baseball to, you know, kind of catch everybody up with what's going on. And I know, you know, we're all very excited that it's, you know, the crosstown rivalry here, so.
Yeah, well, it should be we talked in the email, it should be a capacity crowd for tonight and for the rest of the two games as well.
So yeah, it should be. And you know what I found interesting baseball wise is even though the trading deadline is passed, there actually are two veteran players that are going to be changing teams. The Cincinnati Reds have claimed Asdrubal Cabrera off waivers from the Arizona Diamondbacks, and the Toronto Blue Jays have claimed Jared Dyson off of waivers from the Kansas City Royals. So now, you know, the Reds and the Blue Jays will be responsible for the rest of these players' salaries for the rest of the season. And the teams, the Diamondbacks and the Blue Jays, get nothing in return. What's interesting is the Pirates tried to do this earlier in the week with Gregory Polanco, and there were no takers.
I'm surprised to hear that.
So, yeah, it just kind of interesting. So, you know, even though, you know, you can't make trades, there still are ways for players to move. Obviously just not top guys or, you know, big blockbuster kind of deals. But, you know, Dyson is one of those guys that playoff teams always like. You know, he's a fantastic defender, and he's a, you know, he's a quality base runner. So.
Yeah, well both deals today, of course, both teams involved with the deals today are in the playoff hunt. Especially Cincinnati.
Yeah, the Reds are actually the second wild card in the National League right now. The Blue Jays have quite a bit of work to do, so I'm a little surprised they made the ad. They are in, what is it, fourth place out east. They're behind the Rays, the Yankees, and the Red Sox. And I want to see here how far they're out in the world.
Yeah, they don't have much of a chance, even though they're what, 5 or 6 games over 500 this season. and it seems that they have a long elbow fight. They're never going to make it into the playoffs. Really, there's too many good teams ahead of them.
Six games over 500, and they are only 5.5 games out of the playoffs. So they have an outside chance there, but even there, they're still looking at, you know, they got to jump both Oakland and Seattle, and then, of course, get past the Red Sox to be that second wild card team.
Yeah, that's why when you look at the schedule and a team is only, say, 5 or 6 games out of the playoff hunt, it doesn't seem like an awful lot. But when you look at it a little bit deeper, like you just did, they have a very, very long uphill battle, and it seems to me quite unlikely that they're going to make it, because those 6 games are in actuality longer, I mean, higher than that when you take a look at who they have to beat to get into the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, I know the A's have been struggling, and obviously the Red Sox have kind of came back to earth, and the Mariners have played way, way over their head. I mean, nobody had, you know, the Mariners playing like this. And, you know, it's possible, you know, the Blue Jays are in a pretty good spot with their schedule right now. I mean, they have 3 against the Tigers and 3 against the Orioles. So, you know, if they could put 6 in a row together here or 5-1 together going into next weekend, you know, that would be a big deal and would really help. You know, it's just the question of can they do it?
Yeah, and do you know off the top how many more games the Yankees and Tampa have to play against each other?
Not off the top of my head, but I can actually get that as we continue to move along here and chat. I can grab a schedule here and find out who's got what left.
Because the Yankees still have a chance to win the division. I mean, even though
we're
getting towards September, coming up very soon, next week, and they have a chance. Of course, they've been playing super hot lately, and you figure that how long could that last?
Yeah, you know, eventually, you know, they're going to lose a game. And if they only have 3 games left against each other, they're in New York, and it's their final 3 games of the regular season.
Oh, that should be exciting. And, you know, you're talking about the Yankees. I have to ask you something. What is going on with Chapman? Because I saw him get a save the other day, but, boy, he barely escaped. And he threw a lot more sliders than I've ever seen him throw before. I mean, is there something wrong with his arm?
He actually came in to last night's game, and afterwards he did his post-game interview, and he mentioned that he made some adjustments. And last night, he was really good. He looked more like the Aroldis Chapman that everybody is used to seeing. Whatever change he made seemed to really help him out. So we'll, you know, and that's the weird part is, you know, we're talking about a team that's won 12 in a row with their closer struggling. So that's interesting.
Yeah, if he could find himself, if these adjustments actually last throughout the season in the playoffs, well, the Yankees would be in good shape.
So, yeah, you know, and it was, you know, and it, you know how it is. I mean, pitchers go through these things where they just kind of lose it. But, you know, like last night, he did give up a hit, but he got a strikeout. And it only took him 13 pitches to get out of the inning, unlike before where it seemed like he was throwing 25 or 30 to get through an inning. So,
well, that's the key. That's the key to any good closer. I've always said that. To me, a really good closer has control. And I don't see anybody in baseball right now as a closer who has that kind of great control anymore.
No, I'm trying to think off the top of my head. You know, I'm drawing a blank on who's actually closing for who now. But, you know, I'm sure there are some guys out there who aren't as wild or, you know, off target as some of these guys are. But, yeah, there, you know, there are the guys who you bring them into the game and every closing opportunity is an adventure.
Yeah, and almost every batter goes to 3-2.
Yeah.
They may finally get the guy out, but as you say, it's an adventure. And Hendricks, for example, of the White Sox, he goes to a lot of full counts, and so does Kimbrel.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just one of those, you know, weird things. But, you know, on the plus side, Hendricks has only walked 7 guys this year.
Yeah, although I venture to say that he has a lot of 3-2 counts during the course of his pitching.
Yeah, you know, there are some guys who have racked up saves, like Jake McGee for the Giants has 29 saves and only 10 walks. Raciel Iglesias with the Angels has 27 saves and just 9 walks. You know, and obviously, you know, I don't know what kind of counts these guys are going to, but, you know, at least they're not walking guys. Even if the counts are going full, they're not walking guys.
Yeah, but that's, you know, if they throw a lot of pitches in an inning, a lot of 3-2 counts, that doesn't look good for the long haul for these guys.
No, you know, and it makes it more difficult to get through, obviously, you know, the inning. But, you know, again, at least you're not putting the guy on. You're not giving him the free pass. So.
Right, right. And that's really, I hate to see a quality reliever come in, go for a save, and the first batter he walks. And to me, there's just no excuse for that.
That's the word.
Yeah, no, so. But I mean, you'll be happy to know that Zach Davies is second in the National League or in baseball with walks with 64. He's only one behind Blake Snell.
Wow. Oh. Yeah, he's another guy that you think of. Hey, maybe he's turned a corner. He looks good one game, and then the next game he gets hammered.
Yeah. Well, you know, the problem with him is he can't give you any innings. You know, I mean, he's lucky to get through 5, and that's just a joke as a starting pitcher. So.
Well, that's almost a norm nowadays, but I guess most starting pitchers go at least 6, though.
Yeah, you know, you'd at least like 6 out of them. So. But. Yeah, and I found it interesting. They took a poll on MLB on the MLB.com. They do this occasionally, and they did the American League Cy Young. Actually, they did both Cy Youngs. I didn't realize that, but yeah, Gerrit Cole is your American League Cy Young winner. He's followed by Lance Lynn, Robbie Ray, Chris Bassett, and then humorously Shohei Ohtani, who apparently doesn't qualify for the award because he hasn't pitched enough innings. So there were 3
right.
people who were dumb enough, to vote, and he doesn't even qualify. So there's a lot of idiots out there.
Yeah.
Are you buying Gerrit Cole, or did you like one of those other guys?
Well, Lynn's been great this year, but it's hard to go against Cole.
And obviously as the season goes on here, Bassett is going to fall out of the race because I don't think he's going to pitch the rest of the year after getting hit in the face. So.
Have you seen any update on his injury? I forgot to check. I know that as to what the extent of his injuries were.
They mentioned, he had multiple facial fractures is what the injury ended up being. And he actually wants to try to come back and pitch this year, but obviously that's going to be a stretch. So we'll see. But apparently, yeah, he's going to make a full recovery. Luckily, none of them were really serious. So that's a big plus.
Well, also the fact that they didn't get him in the eye, which could have been career-ending.
So.
Well, I always tell you the story about Herb Score. Cleveland pitcher who got hit in the face, and I don't know if he's shell-shocked or what happened, but he could never his career was done virtually after that, even though I believe he recovered from his injuries, but he just couldn't do it anymore.
Hey, I don't blame him. If I got hit in the face, I probably wouldn't come back either, or at least wouldn't be the same. So.
Well, you were never a pitcher, sir. You were fortunate there, right?
Yeah, well, I was hit in the face quite a bit, but at least I had a mask on. So.
Yeah, that does help.
You know. So, but then, you know, they also picked the National League Cy Young Award winner. They have Walker Buehler winning this award pretty easily. Zach Wheeler finishes second. Corbin Burns is third. Kevin Gausman is fourth. And then, surprisingly, Max Scherzer just kind of wanders in fifth place, even though he had a fantastic outing last night. I'm guessing maybe they forgot to watch. You know, are you buying Buehler, or is there another guy that popped up, or maybe somebody who's not even on the list that you like even more?
Yeah, it's hard to go against him. And you mentioned Scherzer, and he seems to do great for a while, but then something will happen, he'll get injured, or he'll have a bad performance or two. So I always look for consistency with a starting pitcher. And he looked very dominant last night, though.
Yeah, and, you know, I got to say, I'm really disappointed that they have Kevin Gausman getting so few votes. I mean, he's the reason the Giants are where they are, you know, and I mean, he's 12-5 with a 2.47 ERA. I get it, you know, and like, you know, obviously Buehler has pitched very well, but the Giants are ahead of the Dodgers in the standings because of Gausman. So.
Yeah, well, he certainly has been instrumental in their keeping their 4-5 game lead the entire season, although they have a pretty solid lineup also.
Yeah, well, especially with that Chris Bryant guy added to it.
Yeah, didn't he hit another one the other day, a 430-foot shot with the man out?
Yeah, last night he hit one. You know, and then the other guy getting no love is Wade Miley, who's 10-4 with a 2.88 ERA for, you know, and he pitches for the Reds. So he starts in that ballpark where I'm convinced you could hit one out of in Cincinnati. And, you know, there's no love there. I guess, you know, winning doesn't matter when it comes to these awards. I mean, keeping your team in a race doesn't matter, or getting your team back in the race doesn't matter. They just vote for the guy with the best numbers.
I don't know. I certainly think he should have been in the mix, though.
So, you know, it's just one of those, you know, one of those odd things. But, you know, and that's the thing about the awards, is it's always, you know, one of those things you get to argue about. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, you know, the fun one right now appears like it's going to be National League MVP. I mean, we know Ohtani's going to win the American League one regardless of what happens the rest of the year. And, you know, it looked like Fernando Tatis was going to run away with the, you know, the National League award, but, you know, he's only played 97 games, so you know, I think he's kind of come back to the pack a little bit, but Maybe that's just me. I mean, is he your MVP?
I'm still out on that one because he missed a lot of games because of injury. I mean, and as you say, he's tapered off a little bit now. And I don't know. What about Joey Votto? Because he's having a terrific season.
You know, Joey Votto. Yeah, you know, he's making a really big push. And the other guy I've heard, and what you need when you're going to win these awards is you need the MLB Network behind you. And right now, Freddie Freeman has everybody behind him as winning the award again. And what was funny is one of the reasons they mentioned he should win it is because the Braves moved themselves into first base.
Yeah, they're, what, four or five games ahead now. They pulled away from the pack. But everybody predicted them to win it in the beginning anyway, right? Didn't everybody have them winning the East when the season started?
Well, did you? Because I had the Mets.
Yes, I did. because I didn't think anybody was strong enough to.
No, I was all in with that until every pitcher they had got hurt. So.
Yeah, they got.
I know the Phillies have fallen out of the race, but man, you can't discount the year Bryce Harper has had.
No, he's had a great year. This is his best year in a long time. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? If Ohtani's going to win it in the American League on a team that's going to have a losing record, Harper's got to get some consideration here.
And
I know they love Freddie Freeman, but he hasn't even been the best player on his team. That's been Austin Riley, who's been a monster.
And don't forget about Nick Castellanos of Cincinnati also. He's having a terrific season.
Well, you know, he had his injury issues too, and I think he's hitting a little better than Votto, but I think Votto is the better player.
There have been a lot of complaints from the Cincinnati fans about Votto for the past few years, his lack of home runs. But
yeah, well, he took care of that this
year. I think he took care of that this year, didn't he? And his average is quite respectable also.
Yeah, Castellanos' average is even better.
Oh, yeah.
So,
over 300.
The funny thing is, Jesse Winker was playing the best out of all three of them, and now he's hurt. You do wonder, will they cancel each other out in the voting? I mean, trying to pick between them?
It could happen, but I don't know. I don't think there's a lot just yet in the National League like there is in the American League.
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, it's just, you know, nuts. You don't know who's going to win it. All we know is it won't be somebody from the Cubs.
I think you can take that one to the bank. It won't be Ian Happ. You don't think he has a bit of mention?
Well, he might. You never know. Or, remember Ryan Tepera got I think it was the Cy Young last year. So
yeah,
you never know what's going to happen.
Pretty humorous. Of course, everybody's saying how great Happ is now that he's pushed his average up to about 195 or so.
Well, that's good. That's a good start for him. So
yeah.
nothing wrong there. So, I was okay with that. With him rolling along. So next year he'll hit 300. But
sure.
what I did want to ask, I ran this by Dan the other day, and he really apparently just hasn't been paying attention to anything. I was looking at the American League Rookie of the Year race because that to me that's kind of an interesting one, and I'm wondering how much consideration Andrew Vaughn of the White Sox is going to get. Now Dan just crapped all over him because he was a White Sox. You're a Cub fan as well, so I'm hoping you're just not going to crap on this poor guy because I think he's playing pretty well. There are some really good rookies in the American League. Guys like Aldis Garcia, the Rangers, Randy Arozarena, the Rays, and Ryan Mountcastle of the Orioles. So I don't think Vaughn wins it, but I thought he's had a pretty good year, and he should garner some votes, shouldn't he?
I would think so, and I've been impressed with the guy. I think he's got a very nice swing. I like his swing, and he hasn't embarrassed himself in the field. I don't think he's the greatest fielder in the world, but he seems adequate enough. So I think he should deserve to get some votes.
He's been a first baseman all through college, and they put him in the outfield.
Yeah, he looked a little clumsy on occasion, but he seems to get the job done most of the time.
Yeah,
Well, he's certainly not going to take over from Abreu at first base.
No, yeah, that's definitely, he may see more time as Abreu gets older. He may see more time there. you know, as Abreu transitions into DHing a little more, even though I know he doesn't want to DH. He's flat out told people that he has no issue whatsoever or doesn't want anything to do with DHing. But, you know, eventually you know how that goes.
And remember that he wasn't a youngster when they first brought him into the big leagues either.
So, you know, yeah, that's one of, you know, one of the things that you just kind of deal with. So.
Yeah, I do have to say, you know, talking about the White Sox, at least indirectly, is that they've made some terrific moves, and it seems like every time they bring someone up from the minors, the guy does a good job for them, without fail. I can't think of one who hasn't done the job.
Well, you know, oddly, the only one I think that scuffled was Danny Mendick when they brought him up, but he's not what you would consider a top prospect. You know, I mean, the guys we've seen, you know, the Jake Burgers and the Gavin Sheets, and you can even throw Vaughn in there because you got to remember Vaughn is all at 23, and this is his second year in professional baseball? Did he only have rookie league here? Or did he play at A ball? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, he didn't have much in the way of experience, and so that's doubly impressive.
Yeah, he played all of a whopping 55 minor league games in rookie league, and then A ball, and then high A ball last year, and now he's in the majors.
Yeah, well, you have to give management a lot of credit for doing what they've done with the team.
Yeah, no, well, you know, when they went through their rebuild, they made smart trades. You know, I mean, they picked up those guys, you know, they picked up the Eloy Jimenez's and, you know, the Dylan Cease's. They both came over in the same deal. And then, you know, they signed Abreu and they got Moncada in the Chris Sale deal. And, you know, they signed Luis Robert. So it's, you know, they were really smart about the young guys they brought in. And, you know, with the exception of Abreu, and Yasmani Grandal, who was activated today, they're the only two guys that are over 30 in this starting lineup.
Yeah, very young
so
team.
This is a young team that could be good for a very long time.
And remember, they rolled the dice on both Roberts and Jimenez when they signed them to long-term deals before they really established themselves in the major leagues.
So, yeah, you know, and look, and, you know, Lance Lynn has turned out to be just a fantastic trade. You know, everybody was a little worried because he was 34 and what did he have left? And he had some struggles. I know he pitched really good last year, but he had some struggles. He's been fantastic here. And, you know, Carlos Rodon has kind of came out of the blue after an injury-plagued career. And, you know, Dylan Cease looks like he's going to develop into the pitcher that people thought he was when he was a Cub prospect.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting in the playoffs, and I'm not sure if they're as good as Tampa, but they could be a scary team with their pitching, their starting pitching, and
you know,
they got a solid relief
staff. If they can straighten out the bullpen,
yeah,
you know, the bullpen has had those issues, but if they can straighten that out, they, you know, and I know they've had some trouble against teams over 500, but you know that. You know, you're looking at a team that can hit. I mean, top to bottom, this is a fantastic lineup. So, you know, it could be interesting.
Yeah, I was looking at the top four, five, or six contenders, and I'm trying to think who I would think the best team in the American League is. And, well, of course, with the Yankees winning 12 in a row, and I predicted that they would win the pennant this year, and it could happen, but are they the best now if they're healthy?
Yeah, well, you know, right now, as hot as they are, you would say they're the best, but you know, I mean, it's just going to be September, so there's still a whole lot that change between, you know, September and the time the playoffs start. You know, because like I heard everybody jumping on that bandwagon as well, and you know, oh yeah, they're the best team, and you know, it's like, yeah, they're the best team, but Tampa Bay has a better record. So where does that fill in at? You don't get credit for winning games, even though everybody's on the Yankee bandwagon for 12
points. One thing about Tampa is how consistent they've been for the entire season. They don't seem to have any really bad slumps, losing streaks, and they're just a consistently good team all the way down the line. I just put it together such a solid year for them.
So, yeah, you know, and like, you know, the Astros just came out of a funk. You know, they were struggling for a little bit, but they won their last two in a row. You know, of course, they ran into a Kansas City Royal team that only seems to beat winning teams. I don't know how the heck they do that. It's a good thing Kansas City can't get in the playoffs because they'd probably beat everybody. But, you know, I guess they just can't beat the 500 or below teams.
Yeah, Houston, I don't know. I don't think they're the best team in the league this year. They're solid, and they're going to get into the playoffs. But I don't see them winning the American League pennant when it's all said and done.
Yeah. Well, you know, and the funny thing with it looking like the Yankees being a wild card team, and this goes for the Dodgers too, it's one game, and this is baseball we're talking about. Anything could happen in that one game. Say Gerrit Cole goes out and has a bad outing. You're out of the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what's so difficult about becoming a wild card team, and you say anything can happen. Anything could happen.
Yeah. You know, so, yeah, that's the weird thing about that is everybody's like, oh, you know, and it's so funny because everybody now promoting the Yankees are the same people who gave up on them at the beginning of the season. You know, when they got off to just such a terrible start and, you know, oh, well, they're terrible and they're not going to win anything and this team is a bust. And now these same people are promoting them as the best team in baseball.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far just yet, although they are certainly a strong baseball club.
Yeah, you know, and if they were on this kind of roll heading into the playoffs, oh, yeah, I would be fully behind them. But, again, we're talking about we got another month to go. They're not going to win every game the rest of the season, I'm sorry.
No, but can they stay healthy for the rest of the season?
Right, and that you know, and that's obviously the other question with them because you just never know with this team. So,
yeah, they've had a history of injuries this season, players being out for an extended period of time. So, they do seem to have a lot of depth, though.
Yeah, well, you know, those trades really helped. Obviously, you know, Rizzo has been a huge pickup, and now Joey Gallo's getting hot. So, you know, that really added to, you know, what they already had, and now their guys are coming back. You know, I thought I saw they're getting Giovanni Urshela back tonight. So, you know, it's just going to get better.
Yeah, you always have to wonder, are they peaking a month too early, though?
Yeah, you know, and that's one of the questions you have to ask. I mean, are they, you know, is it just happening too fast?
I don't know. They certainly seem strong now, and I hope that there's no more injuries for any of these contending teams for the rest of the season. Play with their starting lineup intact and see who the best team really is.
Yeah, well, you know, at least anything long-term, I get that, you know, you're going to get guys with minor hiccups. But, yeah, God, I don't want to see anybody lose anybody. You know, like the Phillies just lost Rhys Hoskins for the year. And I get that they had kind of fallen out of the race. But, you know, without him, I mean, that just puts the nail in the coffin.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, they are the second-place team, so it's not, like, buried, but...
Yeah, I think that there'll be only one team coming out of that division that's going to be in the playoffs, and that's going to be Atlanta.
You know, and you do wonder, you know, can the Padres get back in it? You know, they are only two games behind the Reds, but Cincinnati has been playing really well as of late. And, you know, San Diego, I know they got Darvish back, and, you know, it They've got to get healthy. And, you know, maybe it starts tonight because they are playing a crappy Angels team, so maybe they break that four-game losing streak.
Well, even when he was healthy, I don't think Darvish has been all that great for them this season. He started out okay.
No, you know, he hasn't been great, but he's still a quality starting pitcher, and it's better than whatever they're going to bring up to replace him.
Oh, no question about that.
No.
But they seem flat lately. I don't know if they're going to make it. I think maybe Cincinnati might wind up ahead of them and get in with the Dodgers.
Yeah, it's definitely very possible. But I think it's really between the Reds and the Padres. I don't see any other team popping up there. Darvish Darvish has made 24 starts, and he's got a 3.8 ERA. So he hasn't been terrible for the Padres.
No.
You know, than Blake Snell, who's way over 4.5.
Yeah, that's pretty high. Well, for supposedly a top flight pitcher.
Yeah, so... You know, we'll have to see how it rolls out here the rest of the year. But I thought I want to double check it, but I thought they said that the schedule for the Padres, because obviously they're just coming off playing the Dodgers, and I think they might have had the Giants before that. I think their schedule lightens up a little. So, and obviously, starting off, they have a better than average chance to win this series with the Angels. They have the Angels and the Diamondbacks before they have to face the Astros. So they're in a spot where they have a chance to win, four or five in a row here and put something together. So,
have you checked Cincinnati's schedule for the last month? Do they have a tough schedule?
No, I can take a look at it while I'm here and see what they have coming up. I mean, obviously, if they're in playing in their division, the schedule is going to be much easier than anything else because those teams stink.
Except for Milwaukee, of course.
Except for Milwaukee. They start with 3 with Miami. Then they've got St. Louis, Detroit, the Cubs, St. Louis, and Pittsburgh. So they have six very winnable series.
Yeah.
So they have a chance to really put that wild card away if they can get hot and win these games.
Yeah, I right now they're my selection along with the Dodgers to make it into the wild card.
So, yeah, well, looking at the schedule, that looks like they could be a very good choice. I mean, if San Diego has any hiccups and – they do have the Dodgers and the Giants coming back up on that schedule again. It could really lean into, Cincinnati taking that spot and really controlling it.
Yeah, and that'll be interesting, Cincinnati and the Dodgers in a one-game playoff.
Yeah, so... Oh, but all right, well, before we forget here, let's make some selections. Now, you did split your week last week. Fortunately, the Chicago offenses were really bad, so you hit your under. That makes you 58-51 on the year. And, obviously we're just going to start off with the very simple one for tonight. Cubs at White Sox, who wins?
Well, let me think about that. Well, I thought about it. I will go with the White Sox tonight.
Right.
Kind of a no-brainer when you think about it, but
to mark the days down, otherwise I forget what days I'm asking you about. All right, we jump to tomorrow. It's the Bears' final preseason game. Everybody is excited about Justin Fields getting to play against Tennessee's second stringers, so then they can talk about the quarterback controversy. Who wins the game, the Bears or the Titans?
I will pick the Titans to win the game.
Right. And let's see what we have here. And obviously we still have the Cubs at the White Sox. I want to get the actual pitching matchup for you. Oh, it's Alec Mills against Lance Lynn. Let's see. Let's go with we'll go with which pitcher is going to throw the combination more innings plus strikeouts.
Well, I'm going to have to go with Mr. Lynn on this one.
All right. I got to remember what I just told you. Innings pitched plus strikeouts. Otherwise, I'll forget when I'm trying to figure out if you actually hit on that one. And then Sunday we wrap up Kyle Hendricks against Dylan Cease. So this should be the best pitching matchup of the series, because basically it's the only pitchers. Hendricks is the only legitimate starter the Cubs have. Let's go over under run scored total in the game for both teams, 7.5.
Over.
Oh, you're going to go over this week, huh? Okay.
Yes.
All right, so you are all set. We will lock those in and then get you all ready to go and see how your week plays out. So,
well, that'll be interesting, and I certainly expect another sweep, by the way, for the White Sox over the weekend after they easily beat the Cubs at Wrigley Field.
Not one game?
I don't think so. I'd be very surprised.
Okay. So, yeah, well, you know, again, that's the weird thing about baseball. You just never know.
No,
you know,
anything can happen, right?
Look, we won a game. So, you know, I mean, like I was telling you in email, you know, I was all over the Shohei Ohtani bandwagon because he was pitching against the Orioles, and they lit him up.
Yep, so. And they had been on a long, long, long losing streak, too.
19 games coming into that game against Ohtani, and they knocked him around. I don't care what anybody tries to say. And then, you know, then to make it worse, you know, he was 0-for-4 with 3 strikeouts at the plate.
Not one of his better efforts. But I'm sure the experts will discount that when it comes to the MVP selection.
Yeah, they wrote it off immediately. I mean, as soon as it happened, you know, it wasn't the lead of anything because, you know, if he would have homered, that would have been the lead story. But, you know, that even if they would have lost, that would have been the lead story because the next day I think he hit his 41st, and they talked about that right away, just forgetting that he sucked as a starting pitcher and as a batter the night before and got beat up by one of the worst teams in baseball.
Yeah.
Well, you know, selective memory, and he's their MVP, so that's what they're going to do.
Yeah, and you think he'll hit the 50? I don't think so.
No, I don't see him being a 50 home run guy. Of course, you know, you never know. It is possible, so we'll see, but I don't think so.
Yeah, well, 45, 46 isn't bad either, of course.
Well, no, nothing wrong with the numbers he's put up, you know, except for me, he strikes out a little too much. All right, well, you and I are going to start our weekend, so we are out of here. Now, you know what to do while we're gone. SportsTimeRadio.com, get out over there and look to the one popping up tomorrow morning. The link will take you over to the Facebook page, so go out there and give that a like, but who will see you because that's SportsTimeRadio. I am also on Twitter and post-time if you look me up at URCTIME. And if you were able to stop by and listen to Q&I Live, well, thank you very much. It was nice for you to do that. But if you weren't able, you can still hear the podcast. Just go on over to QAnon.com and you can see what time you want. All right, have a good weekend. We'll talk to you next week.